A terribly strange bed. The most difficult likeness I ever had to take, not even excepting my first attempt in the art of portrait painting, was a likeness of a gentleman named Faulkner. As far as drawing and colouring went, I had no particular fault to find with my picture. It was the expression of the sitter which I had failed in rendering, a failure quite as much his fault as mine. Mr. Faulkner, like many other persons by whom I have been employed, took it into his head that he must assume an expression because he was sitting for his likeness, and in consequence contrived to look as unlike himself as possible while I was painting him. I had tried to divert his attention from his own face by talking with him on all sorts of topics. We had both travelled a great deal and felt interested alike in many subjects connected with our wanderings over the same countries. Occasionally, while we were discussing our travelling experiences, the unlucky set look left his countenance, and I began to work to some purpose. But it was always disastrously sure to return again before I had made any great progress, or, in other words, just at the very time when I was most anxious that it should not reappear. The obstacle thus thrown in the way of the satisfactory completion of my portrait was the more to be deplored because Mr. Faulkner's natural expression was a very remarkable one. I am not an author, so I cannot describe it. I ultimately succeeded in painting it, however, and this was the way in which I achieved my success. On the morning when my sitter was coming to me for the fourth time, I was looking at his portrait in no very agreeable mood, looking at it, in fact, with a disheartening conviction that the picture would be a perfect failure unless the expression in the face represented were thoroughly altered and improved from nature. The only method of accomplishing this successfully was to make Mr. Faulkner somehow insensibly forget that he was sitting for his picture. What topic could I lead him to talk on which would entirely engross his attention while I was at work on his likeness? I was still puzzling my brains to no purpose on this subject when Mr. Faulkner entered my studio, and shortly afterwards an accidental circumstance gained for me the very object which my own ingenuity had proved unequal to compass. While I was setting my palette, my sitter amused himself by turning over some portfolios. He happened to select one for special notice, which contained several sketches that I had made in the streets of Paris. He turned over the first five views rapidly enough, but when he came to the sixth, I saw his face flush directly, and observed that he took the drawing out of the portfolio, carried it to the window, and remained silently absorbed in the contemplation of it for full 5 minutes. After that, he turned round to me and asked very anxiously if I had any objection to part with that sketch. It was the least interesting drawing of the series, merely a view in one of the streets running by the backs of the houses in the Palais Royal. Some four or five of these houses were comprised in the view, which was of no particular use to me in any way, and which was too valueless as a work of art for me to think of selling it to my kind patron. I begged his acceptance of it at once. He thanked me quite warmly, and then, seeing that I looked a little surprised at the odd selection he had made from my sketches, laughingly asked me if I could guess why he had been so anxious to become possessed of the view which I had given him. "Probably," I answered, "there is some remarkable historical association connected with that street at the back of the Palais Royal, of which I am ignorant." "No," said Mr. Faulkner, "at least none that I know of. The only association connected with the place, in my mind, is a purely personal association. Look at this house in your drawing, the house with the water pipe running down it from top to bottom. I once passed a night there, a night I shall never forget to the day of my death. Now, I have had some awkward travelling adventures in my time, but that adventure... Well, suppose we begin the sitting. I make but a bad return for your kindness in giving me the sketch by thus wasting your time in mere talk." He had not long occupied the sitter's chair, looking pale and thoughtful, when he returned, involuntarily as it seemed, to the subject of the house in the back street. Without, I hope, showing any undue curiosity, I contrived to let him see that I felt a deep interest in everything he now said.